Kristen and I, we feel so honored, so grateful. It is amazing to have our families here. We have my grandparents, my parents, my sister and brother-in-law, Kristen's aunt and uncle, Cash, who discipled me for 7 years through the teen ministry and campus ministry. But this is not a goodbye sermon. There's going to be another time for that. This is a go and do incredible things for God sermon. So I want to talk to you this morning about leaving a legacy for God. You know, when you look at all the men and women of the Bible, few left as much of an inspiring and God-glorifying legacy as Moses. So our title today, as we look at his life and relationship with God, what will your legacy be? You can start turning over to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to ask my lovely wife to bring me my bag right next to her as you turn there. Thanks. All right, let's pray before we read in Hebrews 11. Dear Lord in heaven, God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time to be together, to sing to you, Lord, to take communion as we focus and remember Jesus' life, his death, his burial, and resurrection. Thank you for the privilege of being able to give to you. God, thank you for your word and how clearly it speaks, for how it penetrates our hearts to the deepest parts of our being and directs us how to walk in your will. God, I pray right now as we look at the scriptures, as we look at the life of Moses, we will all leave here inspired to leave a legacy for you that will glorify your name even beyond our life on this earth. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 23. And as you know, Hebrews 11 is referred to commonly as the Hall of Faith. And right here we get to read a little bit about Moses' life. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Exodus chapter 2 records this very event. You can look up here at verses 1 through 3. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And we know what happens from there. Moses was special from birth. He was set apart to do incredible things for God. But so are you. And so have you been set apart from birth to do incredible things for God. Look at Ephesians 1 verses 3 through 4 right here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Don't ever let Satan convince you, and don't ever believe yourself that you cannot do anything for God. His word has spoken clearly. Moses was set apart from birth to build a legacy that would glorify God, but so were you. The rest of the description of Moses' legacy right here in Hebrews 11, it's inspiring. Look at verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. In Moses' lifetime, he was referred to as the most humble man on the face of the earth, Numbers 12:3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And at the end of his life, he was described as completely unique among the prophets, Deuteronomy 34:10-12. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So how did Moses build this legacy? Well, we know what we have in common with him. He was set apart from birth to be used by God. We have been set apart from birth to be used by God. But I believe there are three specific things Moses did in his life that we must also do that allowed him to leave such a legacy. Point number one, face the Lord. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Can we turn there together? Exodus 3 will start in verse 1. Verse 1 says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses! And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So at first sight, Moses hides his face. He's afraid to look at God. And throughout the rest of chapters 3 and 4, Moses used every excuse in the book of why he could not be used by God, trying to get out of what God was calling him to do. Here are some of the excuses he used. Chapter 3, verse 11, Who am I that I should go? Chapter 3, verse 13, Suppose I go and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Chapter 4, verse 1, What if they do not believe me or listen to me? Verse 10, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. And as God had an answer for every one of his excuses, finally Moses said, Please send someone else. He doubted that he was the person for the job and used every excuse to try to get out of it. But at the end of all of this, he obeyed. Moses decided, I'm going to do everything God is commanding me to do. And that's what matters. You know, there's someone who reminds me a lot of Moses with the burning bush. So a couple months after Kristen and I moved here, Kristen and Jolisa were walking around campus at Southern. And they're walking around sharing their faith. It was a Friday afternoon and we had a devotional on campus that night. So they're going around just telling people about our campus ministry and what we do. And they run into Jeff Williams. And they talk to Jeff and they say, Hey, we've got a campus ministry here and we have this event going on tonight in the student center. Would you be interested? And Jeff didn't have anything going on that night and it sounded like a fun event. So he came. Now, Jeff, a couple years before that, had studied the Bible with the Hartford campus ministry. He studied the Bible kind of on and off and kind of decided, you know what, this isn't for me. I don't really want to be a Christian. But he came to this devotional, and throughout the course of the event, he realized, I think this is the same church that I studied the Bible with 2 years ago. They're going to ask me to study the Bible, and that means I'm going to have to change, and I don't want to change. So as soon as the lesson ended, Jeff was gone. Now, Jeff was on the track team at Southern. He's fast. So I saw him leave, and I ran down the hallway, and I caught him before he got in the elevator. And so I'm talking to Jeff, and sure enough, I asked, Would you like to get together and study the Bible? And Jeff reached deep down into the pool of excuses to find some way to get me to leave him alone. some reason why he could not study the Bible. And I think I remember him saying, I don't have time. That probably couldn't fit into my schedule. I'm always in meetings. I broke my arm. He was reaching down to get anything he could to get out of that conversation. But there was an answer for everything he said. And at the end, he decided, I'll give it a shot. I'll sit down, I'll study the Bible. And as Jeff studied the Bible and realized what he needed to do to have a relationship with God, he decided to face the Lord and obey. And look at the legacy that has been built in this church. Because Jeff made that decision, Nori became a Christian. Because Jeff made that decision, Devon became a Christian. Then Corinne, then Dorian, now Rose and Stephen. Jeff and Nori got married in the kingdom of God this summer because he faced the Lord. You know, standing in the hallway of the student center at Southern was a burning bush moment for Jeff. Am I going to make excuses or am I going to face the Lord and do what God is commanding me to do? We all have burning bush moments where we have to face the Lord and we have to decide, am I going to obey or am I going to make excuses? Moses tried every excuse to get away from God, but in the end, he decided to obey. And the only way to leave a legacy for God is to decide every single day, no matter how you feel, no matter what's going on in your life, you are going to face the Lord and obey. But for Moses, that decision alone is not what left such a legacy. Instead, it was something he decided to do every day from that day forward, something he would do consistently to give him the strength to build a legacy for God. It's something that we too have to do every day if we're going to live a life that glorifies God. Point number two, enter the tent. For Moses to have the strength to leave such a legacy, he decided he was going to have to speak with God all the time, as much as he could. And he would regularly do that in the tent of meeting. We see that first in Exodus 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And when Moses went to the tent, something incredible happened in his time with God. Exodus 34, verses 33 to 35. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Every time Moses entered the tent of meeting to speak with God and hear his word, he came out changed. I believe it was in the tent he got the strength to lead God's people. It was in the tent that he dealt with his frustration as people rebelled and complained against the Lord their God. It was in the tent he was refreshed and reminded to be righteous in everything he did. And by the time he came out of the tent of meeting, he was reflecting the glory of God. So much so that he had to cover his face with a veil until the glow faded away. Now check this out. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Can we turn there together? We doing all right, church? All right, 2 Corinthians 3. We'll pick up in verse 12. As Moses entered the tent, we too have to enter and get our strength from God. Chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Moses would put a veil on to cover the reflection of the Lord's glory until it faded away. We in Christ take the veil off to reflect the Lord's glory as it keeps on increasing. When you enter the tent of meeting, when you enter God's presence with the goal of speaking to Him and listening to His word, you should expect to come out reflecting the Lord's glory, inspired and refreshed. You know, there are certain things in life that I expect to be refreshed by. A cold cup of water when it's 90 degrees. A great nap in the middle of the afternoon. As rare as that happens. Quality time with my wife and with my best friends. I expect to be refreshed. For the last 2 years, Kristen and I, we've been members at the Edge Fitness Clubs. Does anyone else in here go to the Edge? It's an awesome gym, $10 a month or $20 a month. So last month, they opened up a new facility in Orange. It's about 10 minutes down from our apartment. And one of the advertised features was that members could get an appointment for a free 15-minute massage. As much as you want, you can go and sign up and get a free massage. And so as they're advertising that, I'm thinking to myself, how refreshing. I can go in, set the appointment, do my workout, and end with a massage. This was going to be the thing that really set this gym apart from all the other gyms. So I couldn't wait to experience it. I drive down to the Orange gym. I go in and I set the appointment for my massage. So I do my workout and I'm ready to be refreshed. So I'm looking forward to some soft music, get my muscles all loosened up after the workout. I walk over to the massage area and I open the door. And it's so calm in there. It's a light green hallway. You walk down and they have the required fake tree at the entrance right there of the spa area. And so I go down and I turn the corner to where my room was going to be for the massage. I walk in and I see a chair. From Brookstone. And this massage that they've been advertising for months as they're about to open up the Orange location is literally a chair that you sit in and it only runs for 15 minutes and then it shuts off and the next person comes in. False advertising. I expected a real massage and all I got was a machine that punches you in the back repeatedly for 15 minutes. I'm grateful that what is advertised with God is real. Because I truly believe when we enter God's presence, we cannot help but come out changed, inspired, refreshed, and ready to do all that God has commanded us to do. When we enter the tent of meeting, our hearts change. The frustration you were feeling towards your spouse, towards your kids, you get perspective. And it goes away. The fear you had about sharing your faith, suddenly you're bold as you're full of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The selfishness that you had been having, not wanting to serve, not wanting to be loving, giving, encouraging, it turns to a desire to do whatever you can to build others up. Enter the tent, church, every day and get the strength you need to build a legacy for God. But there's one final thing Moses did. To leave a legacy. Our last point today, pass it on. And everything Moses did, facing the Lord, entering the tent, being in the presence of God, he brought Joshua with him. Here are just a couple examples you can look up here. Exodus 24:13. Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. Joshua got to go with Moses to the mountain of God. He was right next to the cloud as God gave Moses the law. That was an example to Joshua of reverence before God. Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. He got to be with Moses at the tent of meeting. He's watching Moses have his quiet times and speak with God and listen to the word of God. That was an example to Joshua of the necessity of spending time in God's presence. You see the fruit of Moses passing it on in Deuteronomy 31:7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance." Moses had invested so much in training Joshua and passing on his legacy to him that when the time came for Moses to pass the torch on, there was no question that Joshua was ready to keep doing what Moses had been doing his whole life and to lead God's people. Church, the reason I'm standing before you today as an evangelist, number one is because of the grace of God. Because of God choosing to use me in this way. But it's also because of the men that God has put in my life. They have trained me and they have passed on their faith, their vision, their zeal, their wisdom, their passion for God. You see from my parents why I cry all the time. They passed that on too. But I think about my dad. My whole life, he has been an example of a man of God who lives by righteousness, integrity, and faith. I saw true discipleship at a young age because of him. I grew up seeing what a godly husband looks like because of my father. My campus minister, Cash McHarg, who drove down to be here today, you know, he started training and discipling me my sophomore year of high school when I was 15 years old. He trained me and discipled me for 7 years. God gave Cash so much patience through the Holy Spirit. But I learned passion and I learned sincerity from Cash. Jeff, the Sackingers stepped out on faith in hiring us. All of you did. We were 22 and 21 years old. We had never been in the ministry before, and we had just started dating. In these 4 years, I have learned from Jeff how to be steady in my faith, how to be unchanging in my convictions, perseverant through challenges, ambitious in my vision. Jeff has taught me how to lead men to Christ and how to train them to lead others to Christ. He has trained me to be an evangelist and to lead God's people. I would not be here if it was not for these men passing their faith and their legacy on to me. For the older disciples in here, who are you passing it on to? Who is your legacy going to live on through? And for the younger disciples here, who are you looking to learn from and to be trained by? Whose faith are you imitating as Joshua imitated Moses? You see, God's design is not for us to just have our own little personal relationship with God. The way we just kind of keep between us and Him. His design is for us to learn from others older than us and pass what we've learned on to those younger than us. The nation of Israel, God's people, was able to enter the promised land because Moses passed his legacy on to Joshua. To conclude, I want to bring you back to the scripture we looked at in the beginning. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us. He chose every one of you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Just like Moses, every one of us in here has been chosen by God to leave a legacy that will glorify Him. So what will your legacy be? What will people say about you? What will they say about your faith? What will they say about the zeal that you had for the gospel and the compassion that you had for the lost? Will your legacy be one that inspires the generation after you? Will it be one to be imitated? I pray that every one of us will leave here today with a decision and a conviction in our hearts that we are going to face the Lord and decide every day to obey Him and live for Him. That we're going to enter the tent of meeting to get our strength from God, to be refreshed, to be inspired, to be ready to live righteous lives for Him. And that we're going to learn from those older than us and pass it on to those younger than us. So the gospel will be preached to every nation for all time. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Amen. What a great service we've had today. We've watched Will and Christian be appointed evangelist and women leader. We've